I was thinking about Richard Nixon in 1972 because of two journalists. The entire American culture piled on. It was from 1972, and the campaign to re-elect the president was in high gear. Nothing could stop them, except maybe themselves. And they did. 50 years ago, in 1974, a moving van was staged in front of the White House, as Dan Rather smiled, as he did his report in front of the White House. Nixon did one thing that was clearly a high road gesture. Under the threat and embarrassment of impeachment, he resigned. Fast forward to Clinton and Trump, who under the threat of impeachment, overstayed their welcome, defiantly. And now Trump wants back. The sheer nastiness of the swamp needs its own border wall. It isn't the fact that our choices are old men. It's that both are from the Good Old Boy Network. That's Audio Journal, the second week of March, 2024. I'm Richard Arnold Beatty.
Sing a song for the wrong and the wicked and the strong and the sick as thieves. For the faceless fear that was never so near, too clear to disbelieve. Well, the sea is jumping salty, and the porpoise has to lose. A recollection's faulty, and I cannot find my shoes. And my wiring is misfiring you. Cigarettes and booze come behind my news. I just now got the news. You seem to tell us lies, and still we will believe him then. Together he will lead us in the darkness, my friend. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down.
Don't fall on me, I'm all a timber world, 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 tim steamy nights where all the old folks watch their neighbors from their patios. Back on Capitol Heights, where the amateur gardener sits around watching vegetables grow. Stories and tales of the second coming. Stories and tales. Glory and hail to the patriots drumming for their man. All glory and hail. Northern lights, I feel that same old feeling beckoning me again. It just seems right to get my feet back on the road. You may agree with me, my friend. Stories and tales of a second coming. Stories and tales. All glory and hail.
Hello, this is Richard Beatty, and this is the Sound Century. On March 10th, 1922, and before that, KLZ Radio was the first to broadcast in the Mountain Time Zone and was one of a dozen stations to be licensed by the FCC. Dr. William F. Reynolds broadcast from his home on University Boulevard. His early partnership with the Rocky Mountain News made Reynolds Radio Company the first on-air news and electronic media company in the world. Since 1992, Crawford Media Denver has been the steward of Doc Reynolds' legacy. From Christian talk to legends to women's and KLZ sports, Crawford Media has been the longest continuous beacon of Doc Reynolds' dream and the innovator of many firsts on air, online, and on Mountain Time. As Epilogues would have it, the deadline for the centennial celebration of the Sound Century will continue for another century. A listener sent in an excerpt from the Marx Brothers collection, Marxology, while we have covered the Trocadero Room in Big Band Lore on KLZ. We neglected to give you the other side of 38th Avenue at Sheridan. Seems that Lakeside Amusement Park had its share of big band names, and Mel Torme singing with Chico Marx on the KLZ microphone was a big deal at the time. Torme, who later became famous for the Christmas song, was a popular crooner on the lines of Bing, Frank, and Perry. Chico Marx and his big band were serious about the music business. And if that's not the most ridiculous thing I ever heard, I'll sell you a viaduct from Mayor Spear with the Sound Century. I'm Richard Beatty.
Well, a lot has happened since we did the Sound Century just 2 years ago. It is 2024, and we're looking at March 10th again. And that is the anniversary of KLZ Radio. And, of course, that's our sister station. It's actually our mother station, our father station. It is the station, KLZ. And I have certainly enjoyed working there. It got me started on the Sound Century. One of the interviews that I love here that we did on the Songwriters Gallery and here in Listening Room, we're going to bring back Judy Collins and that interview. I hope you enjoy this.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about the album. And, you know, when I was a girl in Colorado, and then you did Grand Canyon, and there's a couple of other songs that are, they're about places, but they're also about relationships, aren't they?
Very much, very much. And I think that the album itself is pretty autobiographical. Somebody told me they think this is the story of my life, and I ought to make it into a Broadway
show. Yeah, like Carole King did. Who would play you? You?
Oh, I have no idea.
I mean, Springsteen did that, right? He Springsteen did Broadway for a number of weeks.
Yeah.
So why not?
Absolutely.
You've got the acting chops.
And, why not?
And who could play Judy Collins better than Judy Collins?
Don't know.
Do you think it's autobiographical?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Right. All kinds of time periods then.
That's past, present, and future. You're thinking about it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I caught that. I think the lyrics are beautiful. I really like the Thomas Merton piece. I thought that was really
good.
It was insightful, and of course we don't know. We don't know about the smoking gun, do we?
So we don't know. Although there has been implications in the book, which was written in 2015, which was called The Martyrdom of Thomas Merton. Somebody has found a CIA agent who said, yes, indeed, we did it.
Wow.
So the mystery still rolls on, but I think some of the proof is really there. And it's a fascinating story. Hmm. And, of course, the church declared before this conspiracy theory had come to the fore the church declared that Merton would never be a saint because of his opposition to his public opposition.
Wow.
To the Vietnam War.
Yes, right, right.
They think it's okay. They think the war was fine. The Catholic Church. But Thomas Merton will never be sainted because he was against the war.
Huh. That's amazing because, you know, you think about all the priests that were on the peace at the peace demonstrations and everything else.
Apparently, none of them was as vocal about all of this as was Thomas Merton.
Yeah, and then you figure Pope Paul was not very political where he was political, and so that was it's funny in people not being political, they're more political, aren't they?
Yeah, interesting.
When people don't say what they really know, that the heart of that's the great silencer. The great silencer. Yeah. That's what is, you know, people who do nothing, right?
That's right.
Do you have any favorite songs from the album?
Well, I agree with you about Thomas Merton. I like it a lot. And I love Girl from Colorado. Girl in Colorado. I'm very interested in the writing process and what I got out. I like Hell on Wheels a lot because that yes. is also a true story of something that happened in the Colorado Rockies.
Yes.
And when I was 15 or 16. And that's scary. I think about that often, how I could have just about killed those poor children that were sitting in the dirt beside the car as I slammed into the pits. You know, that's a vivid memory in my mind. So getting it into a song was very challenging.
In my cowboy boots and my Levi's, hair hanging down my back, driving that 53 Chevy, rolling down that mountain track, threw a couple back at the Stanley, drinking with a long lost friend, back in the car, spinning my wheels, cutting through that dusty wind. Didn't see it coming, hell on wheels, carrying a heavy load. Didn't see it coming, hell on wheels, nowhere to go. The gravel and the grit of my past, trailing in the rearview mirror. The only house for 20 miles, I was getting nearer and nearer. Saw two sitting in the dirt, missed him by a mere few feet. Their arms reaching out for daddy, the nightmare still plays in my sleep. I didn't see it coming, hell on wheels, carrying a heavy load. I didn't see it coming, hell on wheels, nowhere to go. Always think you're in control. Someday you realize you're hell on wheels. You know you have to go slow.
Didn't see it coming, hell on wheels, carrying a heavy load. Didn't see it coming, hell on wheels, nowhere to go.
Speaking of process and writing process, what are you somebody that goes away and works on lyrics? I mean, you're an author as well, so I'm sure that's probably something that is that what comes first?
I think it all is part of a day's work. You know, sometimes it's writing in the journal, sometimes it's writing down poems. Sometimes it's working on the book that I'm trying to get some shape on now. It all, yes, process has to do with sitting down and doing it or sitting down to the piano. I try to get to the piano every day because you have to keep the hands in shape, you know?
Yes.
Guitar, you got to keep the calluses in shape.
Are you still playing a lot of guitar?
Oh, yes. Always on the stage. I always play. I don't write anything on the guitar. I never have.
Okay.
But I do play always on the shows. So that's challenging to keep that up. Although I do, when the pandemic hit, I was doing 120 shows a year And I'm pretty sure that that number will creep back up. And we're almost, well, we're at 100, I think, for this year. And it's only March.
Yes.
So it looks like the book will fill up.
Have you ever played the Botanic Gardens here in Denver?
Oh, yes, and I love it there. I've played it a number of times.
And you're coming in June.
Yeah, I'm coming in June.
I hope people.
So great to be there.
I hope people who hear this
get
will.
Get
your tickets now because those sell out fast. Yeah, no, we are so excited that you're coming, and we're looking forward, and hopefully we can say hi at the time when you're in. So that's great. Because they do such a great job there. It's the most beautiful. We're members, and so that's we just love that. And we take our grandson to the Botanic Gardens. He just loves it there.
Oh, that's so nice.
He's only two.
Mm.
But he is he's learning so much.
Yeah.
They're like sponges, and so.
They are.
So tell us a little bit about your audience as you're touring now. Where are you right now?
Well, I'm in New York right now, but I've been out since May.
Right.
May of 2021. So I've been crisscrossing. So let's see, May, February, March, April, May. So I've been out for 10 months already.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The audiences are crazy to get out, and they're loving to be in a concert, and they're crazy about the music. So I have no complaints.
No, and you shouldn't. You should be very, very, very proud of yourself. And you are such an inspiration to all of us who may be a little bit younger, not much younger, but to say, hey, you can still do this stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you keep young and still you just seem like you're still full of wonderment.
I am. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't eat junk. I exercise. I meditate. I have fun.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends with whom I laugh and have meals. And I watch movies that are both great and also funny. So I try to, keep up with the world and myself.
What movies does Judy Collins watch?
I watch a lot of PBS movies. I watch a lot of things on BritBox.
Okay.
I'm a devoted fan of Inspector Morse. I love the birds singing in the background.
Yes.
And the mysteries that get solved. And I love a lot of what PBS does. I was one. Some of the celebrations of the last 2 years have been watching Wolf Hall, which is Rylance.
Right.
And I saw something. I just got something in the mail. I'm so happy, looking forward to seeing it. I was in Arizona, and I had the PBS channel on one night, and they were playing a new video called Colorado. It's about the river, but it's about the river and the history and the surrounding issues of the Colorado River, including, of course, the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. And the narrator of this incredible documentary is Mark Rylance, who, of course, stars in Wolf Hall.
Yes.
The story of King Henry VIII. So, yeah, I get around.
Yeah. Have you watched All Creatures?
No, I'm not so interested in cults. So I love Shetland. I love Vera.
Yes.
Those series, and as I say, always Inspector Lewis also was a stand-in, which worked fine for a while. And Endeavor, of course, is very good. And we'll see what else they can. I liked Unforgotten. I think there's a series. I think the fourth episode is on, which I haven't been able to find on my phone, but I'm sure I'll dig it up on the computer one of these days.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. I'm glad that you get a chance to kind of relax a little bit and watch things. And from
on the in the original 10 months, I think, of the pandemic, we watched every great movie that was ever made.
Yes.
And it's funny because I go back to my list during the pandemic, and I often pull up another play of one of the John le Carré movies, for instance. And because they're fabulous, you know, everything from The Spy Who Came In from the Cold to, you know, when you go back through the great movies that have been made, particularly 70s and 80s movies,
yes.
And a lot the Kevin Costner movies, the Dances with Wolves, which
right.
I thought was just fantastic. In fact, we got so interested in Kevin Costner that we then began to watch Yellowstone, which I think is a fabulous series. I love the mountains. I love Montana. It was very enticing.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting too. Just as being a songwriter and also a composer, how much those scores are just fabulous for some of those movies, and especially of late.
I
think sometimes right now the scores and the soundtracks are better than some of the storylines.
Well, the composers and the conductors and the orchestrators and the players actually know what they're doing.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, you've worked in. I was just reading something. I think it was in your book Cravings, which that is quite the book, by the way. But you were writing about being in New York and doing. Was it a Shakespeare festival? I think that you.
It actually was a version of. It was a musical. Of a Norwegian play, Peer Gynt.
That's right.
And the songs were written by John Morris, who wrote a lot of songs for things like Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's right. He was Mel Brooks' composer, right?
Mel Brooks' composer. Anyway, yeah. So it was a public theater, and the Delacorte Theater in Central Park, where. Very often there are Shakespeare.
That's right. That's probably what got me confused about that, because I remember Shakespeare in the Park.
Shakespeare in the Park, exactly, at the Delacorte Theater where we ran for a summer. And so I've had my experiences on many sides of the stage and the screen and et cetera.
Yes.
I was even in a movie with Schwarzenegger and Emma Thompson called Junior. It's a story about Schwarzenegger plays a guy who's pregnant.
Yes, I saw that movie, yes.
And, you know, the director of that film just died. In fact, he died at, I think he was only 74.
Hmm.
But so I have had my experiences. But I love singing and performing the best, I think.
Yeah, well, it certainly shows. Of course, you wouldn't be able to tell if you didn't love acting or. What about? How many books have you authored?
I've written 9 books. I'm working on the 10th.
Ah, what's the new book about?
The new book is in part a memoir. Plus lyrics to songs of mine, plus poems of mine.
Oh, great.
So it's a kind of a trilogy in a way.
Yeah, that's kind of what Paul McCartney did with releasing some unpublished lyrics. Are these actually songs that you actually have recorded, or are these songs that you've never recorded?
Oh, they're all recorded songs.
Okay. Of a lot of lyrics that have not been committed to recording.
Oh yes,
I figured you would. So
many.
Are there any ideas about doing some of those or bringing some of those?
Oh
up?
Yes, lots of plans.
I like that. That's what keeps you young, right?
That's right.
And that's tremendous. I mean, every song is, what, four and a half to 5 minutes?
I think so.
And I was like, what, is she done yet? But I know I don't want you ever to be done, Judy.
No, I'm never going to be done.
That's right. When you're on the road, do you also do you take time to write as well?
I do. I try to keep up that practice. I do.
So you practice piano and you practice your guitar, and then you also practice writing as well.
Yeah, I do.
Right. And of course, the essence of writing is rewriting, right?
You bet.
That's right. I always say the process of creation is recreation.
Yeah.
What would you say to songwriters now who are in the midst of just trying? I mean, the business has changed so much. Of course, there's so much independent types of things going on right now. What kind of advice would you give to a budding songwriter and a singer-songwriter?
Oh, just keep at it.
Yeah.
Never stop, and never let other people tell you what you can or can't do. And stay with your dream, and know that things unfold. You never know what's around the next corner.
Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free, and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you. I do. That's forever. Yes, and for always. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard. Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret. Are you still listening? Here is the lock and laughter, the key to your heart. And I love you. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard. And you make it hard.
canary, ruby-throated sparrow, sing the song, don't be long, thrill me to the voices of the angel ring around the moonlight, asking me, says she's so free, how can you catch the sparrow? Lacy lilting
sky to the gray on that awesome.
March 4th, 2024. Dear Dad, a friend told me the week that you died that I would never get over it, really. It is 14 years ago now, and he was right. Recently, I have been learning to grieve with so much to live for, experiencing grief, and nurturing our wounds. That's what healing is. I am responsible for wounds that I've caused. And yes, so many of our hurts are self-inflicted. And when you look at those who you love, there are those wounds that time can't heal. Only love can. A friend once told me an acronym for RAIN. Recognize. I recognize who's hurt. Allow. Allow my sorrow, anger, and RAIN to soak in. Investigate my own feelings. And then nurture the wounds I've caused myself and others. So I come to you today, say I miss you, and to tell you, it's gonna be all right.
Down on me. rain come down on me. Up from the ground, I hear the songs of rain falling down on me. The things that I said, allowing against the grain, investigating the things that I said, the things that are inside my head, to nurture the pain with rain.
You're listening to The Listening Room on Legends. I'm Richard Arnold Beatty. That last excerpt is from a musical called Stories and Tales. You can catch the entire show on the podcast. We would love to hear from you, and we'll be doing several Listening Room events, including live concerts, releases, and planting of Listening Rooms, maybe in your town. Sound Century will be releasing From Broadway to Jones Beach and back again. And if you would like to find out more about the Denver Folklore Center concert series, email songwritersgallery@gmail.com. Thanks to Judy Collins, Kevin LeBay, Chico Marx, and everybody at Crawford Media Denver for making Listening Room possible. I'm Richard Arnold Beatty. See you next week.
Father to son, pass the baton, days of an era gone. Gone not lost, count the cost, the good and bad we pass on. Slip through this menagerie, the times we've cut down, the family tree. We travel from the old country, from me to you, you to me. Father to son, pass the baton, days of an era.
lost.